Ah, that was a scintillating discussion this morning. I did hear a piece of that. They were doing some form of straw poll. Can we get him a water, by the way? This man is going to expire before 2:15.
How about just a new studio?
Okay, Aretha, we'll get right on that. Listen,
because no, I'm fine. And the second I step in here, ask David. It's
I can
over.
Hear it. I feel terrible. I don't know what to do. Can I get you a water?
I got water. I got everything.
All right. Early this morning, hold on. Before we dive right into the topics of the day, what was the genesis of them discussing who the whitest person at the station was? What did I miss there?
Cookies did their two grand slam, and one of the questions was, who had the song More Money, More Problems? Except for Cookies was like, who had the song More Money, More Problems?
Oh, dear.
And he was like, did you guys have me read that so I sound like the whitest guy at the station?
Oh, dear.
And then it took off from there of who was the whitest guy at the station.
Oh, dear. Okay.
So it was
noted.
So the ticket texters text in.
Who
it was
won
like,
the competition? Because I heard the part where Gov basically on a daily basis has to tell people he doesn't live in Tecumseh.
Right.
He lives in maybe with two E's. But still, I felt bad. Like, geez, I feel bad he's at his kids' games. And they're like, hey, how's the Tecumseh area?
Right. The power of Mike.
Right.
So
who won the poll?
I think it's kind of sounded like it was Cookies.
I think there was a lot of Wojo votes as well.
Oh, yeah. Wojo came in at the last second. And got it. Were like, yeah, it's Wojo.
Odyssey.com rewind if you'd like to hear those shenanigans. Let's begin the day. Now, look, we have a big game tonight. But I want to wait a day to do Tiger baseball. We are officially in a chase being three games out. But I want to wait one more day. Because we have football we still have to get taken care of. And let's be honest, the Tigers are still going to be there tomorrow. And maybe even closer. We'll see. But I have some data. I've got the full presentation ready to roll today. I just want to do it tomorrow. So here's what I want to bring up to you guys. College football. We'll get to Lions a little later in the day. But college football, here's how we're going to do this and keep this inclusive. It's very simple. How much, if at all, are you going to reset your expectations with your team? Michigan, Michigan State. Michigan was woeful. For many, a reality check. For me, a reality check. I thought they'd play much better. They didn't belong on that field with Texas, period. For Michigan State, it's intriguing. It's improvement. Whether that moves you at all, I don't know. So it's like the airing of the grievances, Rico. I got a lot of problems with you people. Except we are going to air the expectations.
Mm-hmm.
How much, if at all, are you altering them? Michigan, Michigan State. We can go around the room. I want to certainly hear from the people. I can deliver mine last if you like.
No, we're good.
That's fine. But I truly think this was eye-opening both ways for both fan bases. So, Rico, if you want to bat leadoff on this, I'll wait. I'm interested in you guys and how we're doing this. Because he's had the harshest opinion. Okay? David has had the harshest opinion. I may have had the most rosy one saying, look, I think they're a 9-3 team.
Right.
But where are you?
Right now, as far as Michigan goes, I'm looking at this team, Mike. They have an inability to score. They're going to struggle. And this defense that was lights out, it's good. I don't know if it's lights out. I actually talked about it on the pod. That's coming out the Five Star Zone later today. Well, you know. I don't know. It's good. It's not great.
Okay.
Texas really showed how to beat it. They gave everybody a blueprint. Now, granted, everybody doesn't have Texas players. But, you know, when you watch the first game that they had, it was like, okay, Fresno State kind of showed you some things. Texas took it and expanded upon that playbook. I don't know. I'm leaning more towards David. I'm not quite there at 6-6, but I will say I'm looking at a 7-5 team.
David, lock them in. 7-5 for U of M for Rico L. Beard. Michigan State.
Michigan State, I had them at 7-5. I think that that's their ceiling. I don't think that they will get this miraculous, oh, it's a great run like K-9. That's not going to happen. They're going to be in a lot of 50-50 games. I'm going to leave it there, but it's going to be kind of like that Maryland game. Man, you're going to sweat this thing out. When you go and you play Indiana, when you play Rutgers, these aren't gimmies. So for Michigan State, they could easily fall down to below the Vegas number. I can see why Vegas had them at 4.5 because you got about 5 games where you're flipping a coin. You won it last Saturday against Maryland. I don't know if it continues that way, but I will leave it at 7-5 for their ceiling.
David, Michigan, you started the year at 6-6. It looked incredibly negative. I still think it's a touch negative, but after what took place Saturday, talk to me.
Yeah, I can't come off the 6-6. I can't. There's nothing they've done that has impressed me at all. They struggled in their first game, and it got worse in the second game. So I'm going to stick to 6-6.
Okay, Michigan State.
For Michigan State, I believe I was at 7 as well for them. What flips it is the Michigan-Michigan State game in my mind. So I had Michigan State winning 7 games, and I'm going to keep it at 7 games.
Okay.
You actually had them beating Michigan
before the
year started.
To make them have the 7th win, yeah.
I'll give my prediction, my expectations later. But let me just say this. I am not going anywhere near that right now. I am on to Prairie View. Kenny, expectations. Michigan, the realignment Michigan State. What do you have?
Michigan, I believe I set them at 9 wins a week ago. I'm going to bump that down to 8 wins. Now, Michigan State, I think I was really hard on Michigan State. I had them at like 4 wins. I'll bump them up to 5 or maybe even 6 wins.
Don't give me the maybes. I need a number.
Okay, I'll say 6 wins. Lock it in.
Okay. Yep. This is the day to realign. Yeah. This is, now, again, it may be an overreaction by fans or some of us. I don't know. The reason I wanted to go last is I don't think I'm altering much of anything. For Michigan, I thought it was 8 or 9. I thought there was a swing game in there and it was USC. The way they're playing, I think 8 is their ceiling. Whether they beat USC or not, I don't think they're beating Oregon. I don't think they're beating Ohio State. Could they drop a random game? Yes.
Yeah.
When you do not have quarterback play and you do not have an offense that is inspiring in any way, shape, or form, you get yourself in what we call Iowa games. And you know what happens in Iowa games? You Iowa. Like, they had no business losing to Iowa State. They just did.
Yeah.
So I'll go 8-4 for Michigan. I was at 9-3. It was 8 or 9 for me, and I went 9. I gave them benefit of the doubt.
I mean, did you think at the beginning of the year you would sit there and say those Iowa-type games that maybe at Washington, at Illinois, or at Indiana?
I can't go there with UW, but I get what you're saying. You're right. And the Cignettis, they don't play.
No. Well, the Big Berts.
Okay, that's their one. He can go back to the Moo Moo collection. For Michigan State, look, I said 7 at the start of the year. I don't accept less. It's impossible for me to put a lower expectation because if I expect worse, it means I need a different coach. 7-5 when you're playing Prairie View is 6-5.
Fair.
Now, beating Maryland allows me to maintain this pacing. Here's the other thing with Michigan State. I am not saying they're capable, that they're going to win these games. But if I ask all of you, if I ask Rico, Kenny, David, I ask you out there driving your car on this beautiful day, Michigan, Iowa, and Oregon, do any of those teams look as good as we thought they could be? No. Do those teams look lesser than? Yes. Does Michigan State, if Aiden Childs is him, as the kids say, cleans it up a little bit.
Last 5 minutes of the game, Aiden Childs.
Yeah, a guy who went on the road in the Big Ten and threw for 400 yards with a game-winning drive as an 18-year-old in his second career start. Look, it's not impossible. I can't go any higher than that because I do believe they have some woeful limitations. But 7 for State, 8 for Michigan. I want to know what you guys are going to react to now. You tell me. Look, Texas came in here and bodied you. They clowned you in your house. You want to say, well, Texas is really good. Truth, you're not. You can't look like you don't belong on the field if you're going to lay claim to being good. Mm-hmm. You got clowned. It was 24-3 at the half, and Texas decided to pack their bags. They were just waiting to go home. They could have put 50 on you with ease.
You know what it felt like? It was kind of like the Ohio State game that I left, Where Ohio State could have kept scoring,
sure,
and just said, you know what, we'll take it easy on you guys.
Last few years against OSU, Michigan State, if OSU wanted to be bad guys about it, they could have been in the 70s.
It could have looked like when Michigan came there last year and said, no, we will be Richards and we will run up the score.
Sure.
Ohio State was just like, nah, we're good. You're not our enemy. Sorry about the, you
we
know,
pity
your team.
You.
Sorry about what happened to your coach. And yeah good luck.
And again, if we want to have a deeper dive about each of these teams, that's what this discussion is for. I want to know what's causing your reset of expectations. I think for Michigan, it truly does boil down to two factors. A, your quarterback play. B, not knowing the other team's plays. David, come on, the jokes write themselves. Just leave it alone.
But he was there.
Just give me that.
He was in Ann Arbor.
I know. Look, I know. I don't understand.
Maybe Sharon got a new number.
I'll leave it alone.
He wasn't getting a text message.
248-539-9797. Now, David, ticket text coming in. What are the early returns here? Because you don't have to redefine your expectations. If you believed Michigan was 8-4, you were ahead of the curve.
Or if you still think they can make the playoffs because it's expanded to 12 teams and it's only. Have you heard him? He is off the bandwagon.
John's going to need to be equipped with one of those construction beepers.
I actually have respect for him because he is now.
John's owning it.
He is.
He's not letting it play out.
No,
he's
not.
He's doing radio.
Yes.
Amen, big fella. Welcome to the profession.
No, because here's the thing. If anybody knows about this team, it's him. And if he's saying, I'm concerned, that carries a lot of weight. And I'm like, wow, John, I mean, sorry, your team is bad, but I like your opinion.
Man, F that. What are you, Scott Hansen?
No,
F the sorry.
You know what? I apologize. It was taken the wrong way. And
I hope they lose 15 games and they only play 13. David, give me some of the ticket texts and then we'll get callers in the mix. But when you reset your expectation for your given team, I need a reason.
I was at 8-4 for Michigan. I'm going to drop them to 7-5. They will lose every game they're supposed to. And one they're not,
oh,
MSU.
Dear. Oh, dear.
So he says MSU would be 6-6. That you is
don't,
full time.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen.
Wow.
I'll just tell you, you don't want that to happen.
Michigan State 8-4. Michigan 8-4, the Spartans 7-5. Nothing has changed for me.
Okay, so he had a more realistic view of his own team. Fair enough.
See, I wonder where the people who said playoffs, because there were some who said Michigan was going to make the playoffs, and you weren't being made fun of. I just wonder, have you changed your opinion?
And you don't have to. But you need to tell us why you're not. That's the fun of this. For State, it's easy. They have you know what he reminds me? Here's what Aiden Childs reminds me of. I'm sure I'll get skewered for this. He reminds me of a younger Cam Ward.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that what? Bad?
No, I'm just...
Oh, no, like... Cam Ward, when he left Incarnate Word and he went to Wazoo, and you're like, who the hell is this guy? He's rifling the ball everywhere. Some of them are to the other team.
Right.
Some of them look like Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
But Cam Ward, early days, what you're seeing now at Miami is the finished product.
Correct. Aiden Childs, to me, is the pitcher with the 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and that's all he throws.
Mason Miller.
Right. So it's like, hey, a little bit of touch, drop it in the bucket. Yep. Nah, I'm going to throw it right through that DB.
We'll get more to people. 248-539-9797. And don't think for a second we are ignoring the Tigers. We are tactically going to talk about them tomorrow. They're going to be the main dish. I've got a full presentation ready. We're in a pennant chase, people. It's exciting. And the one problem is you can't explain any of it. Outside of one factor, but we're going to do it tomorrow. We got to finish our football business because, frankly, more people care. All right, let's get to Michael. He'll bat leadoff on a Tuesday. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing, Mike?
Good. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, first thing, I just want to say thank you to you and Rico. I was overseas last year, and listening to you guys gave me a great amount of escape. So just thank you for what you two do every day. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Ditto as well. Appreciate you, man. Thank
Glad
you very much.
To us. Hey,
very nice of you.
Last I heard, it was free.
Please listen. It's free.
Yeah, I'm boosting your numbers overseas.
We're huge in Croatia. All right, what do you got?
Well, I just want to vent as a Michigan fan. I have the unfortunate privilege of being a Michigan fan in Columbus, Ohio. I hate these fans with every fiber of my bone. But one thing I give them credit for is they hold their team, or Ohio State, to significant expectations. And what took place Saturday, I just don't think would ever fly in Columbus. I mean, do you honestly think that Ryan Day, Kirby Smart, or Nick Saban would come into this season with these as their starting quarterback options?
No.
It's downright unacceptable. It is unacceptable. And we won the national title last year. That's great. I still watch the highlights. But we need to come out of the hangover, because the peak to the, of the mountaintop is a very slippery slope. And I don't think that's a conversation that many Michigan fans want to have. But it's something that we need to have, because I do not want to go back to the dark ages of 2008. I'm being hyperbolic there, but I'm just
thinking
the long term right now.
You're not, because listen, it happens all the time where a team goes on a good run and then all of a sudden it's over. And you're not wrong. That's a fan reaction. And you're not wrong for it, Mike. But I think there's two conversations Michigan fan doesn't really want to have. The one is Harbaugh effed you. Repeatedly.
Yeah.
And he knew this thing was a ticking time bomb and he left. The other conversation, it goes without saying, Michigan fans don't want to have that conversation, which is you cheated your balls off. So yeah, now you're sitting here, and Mike, here's what it looks like. I can't prove it. We're all watching the same games, right, Mike? It looks like a rebuild. I mean, you don't have nearly the talent on the field or on staff that you had. You sure as hell don't have your tactical advantage anymore. And now you have a guy who's never been a head coach, who's the captain of a $200 million ship, and you don't have a quarterback. So, yeah, it looks like a rebuild. Now, luckily, I don't think much of the Big Ten. And you will simply out-talent most teams. But to get back where you were, Mike, no, that does feel pretty far away. I think that's fair, right?
See, I'm wondering, do they out-talent because you have to be able to score? I mean, Iowa, we keep saying, oh, there'll be Iowa. Remember, Iowa played that crap schedule against the West. Big Ten West.
Good point.
You don't have that luxury, so you're going to have to go in there and you're going to have to play some teams. So I think that's where it's going to be a little problematic for Michigan.
Nope, I agree with both of you. And I try to be a realistic fan. And, you know, I want to be the talk about being a blue blood. I want Michigan to be in that discussion of being a blue blood college football team. But you have to hold them to that expectation. There is no way right now that Ryan Day or Kirby Smart would allow to go, like, even if they lost everybody, like, if the situation is all the same at those schools, there's no way they run into the season with those two quarterbacks. The portal's open. They have NIL. It's a completely different landscape. This is not 2010 where you're developing a guy for 3 or 4 years, and if you screw up, then you just have to wait for the next one. The portal's open. Figure it out. That's what you're paid to do.
Yeah, but you got it. And, Mike, look, at a minimum, I'll say this. I'm not ready to do it after one loss. But there was chatter about this. I mean, David brought it up. And admittedly, David got beat up for it. But another, like, let's say you lose to USC in a couple weeks, or heaven forbid before then, you probably got to opt to just play the kid, Jaden Davis, or you play someone who gives you upside. Because respect, I don't know Davis Warren and Orgy have any. The Orgy thing, you got to tailor the offense different.
You got to change everything. And if you're waiting for Tuttle, man, Tuttle's not, it sounds like he's not ready. He's still injured and he's kind of brittle. Whenever he gets back in, he's injured again.
He's not that good.
He's the Michigan version of Alante Brown. He's there and he's gone. Just like that.
I'm not convinced Alante's a real person. let's go to Tim, 97.1. Tim, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing, Mike?
Excellent, Tim. What's on your mind, pal?
Well, I reset everything after watching the two games with Michigan. I was a Michigan fan.
Okay.
I am lowering my expectations because I think they just barely squeaked by Fresno State. And Fresno State's a good team, but I'm going 5-7 for Michigan.
Oh, my God.
They don't have a quarterback, and I'm not real sure about the coaching staff, if that's what you want to call it. And for Michigan State, I think Aiden Childs is going to get better as time goes on. I'm giving them 7-5.
Well, the Childs thing, listen, it's exciting, but there will be lows. There are amazing highs and amazing lows. It's why I brought the Cam Ward comp up.
Yeah. Look,
I just think if you have a kid that's 18 and his second career start and he's able to go on the road in the Big Ten, I'm not making Maryland to be phenomenal. Are they a bowl team? Yes. They a team that could probably win 7 or 8 games? Yes. You're down 10 in the fourth quarter and you're able to go and rally, and he makes two NFL throws 10 minutes apart, one at 14:48 with a guy bearing down on him 40 yards to Marsh. 10 minutes later, the throw, the 73-yard touchdown. That's at least tantalizing. Gives you hope, something we haven't had in East Lansing. The Michigan thing, I can't go where you're at 5-7. Come on now.
Okay, 5-7, Mike.
Come on now.
I wonder, and maybe it's 5-7.
I'd love to see it. Don't get it twisted.
If the thing goes off the rails, do a lot of their first-round picks pull a Bosa and just say, you know what? I'm saving myself.
You know, you wouldn't understand about culture. You wouldn't know scumbags in East Lansing. The team. These are Michigan men. They would never do such a thing. What was that? One more time, please.
I got nothing.
Probably best you don't. 248. Go ahead, Kenny. What?
Coming live from the dental chair.
Okay.
Literally. 248.
It's a married woman. We're going to leave her alone.
Good night, everybody. 248-539.
Rieger and Wojo up next. Tiger baseball.
It's the Mighty Wojo Show. Redefining expectations for Michigan and Michigan State. If you're tuning in, no, we're not ignoring the Tigers. We're going to go full presentation tomorrow. I've got it all ready to roll. I'll go play tonight. Tomorrow, we have a big game tonight. Three games out. And it's not really so much what you're doing as much as the Twins and Royals just think they can't win a game. Not consistently, at least. But we got the math. We got conversation. I've got some data on your baseball team. It's witchcraft, how they're doing this. It's truly remarkable. And we're going to do it the right way tomorrow. But we got to finish the football first. So we're asking you, after watching Michigan get hit with a garbage can, are you altering your expectations? And for Michigan State, it was that meteoric week 1 to week 2 improvement on the road in the Big Ten against at least a bowl-caliber team. And MSU with a fourth-quarter rally that, look, that's big for a coach early. It's just a credibility for a new coaching staff. And the Aiden Chiles factor, the Nick Marsh factor, gives you hope. For me, I started the year at 7. I stay at 7. For Michigan, I go from 9 to 8. That's it. I think 8 is your ceiling because right here, right now, unless I see something drastically different, you do not have a quarterback and you do not have an offensive scheme that is conducive to winning. You're not. Look, we all know the biggest difference. But outside of that, it's like, look, here's the other thing that bothers me.
Yeah, because you don't have that quarterback that you're waiting for that is injured. Like, I don't think Tuttle's going to be the guy. Like, you know what? You guys are just seat warmers. And once he comes back, oh, the offense is going to roll because you have to have another weapon other than Colston Loveland.
Here's the other problem.
And you don't.
And I'll say this again. You know, I heard Sharon get asked about his contract, and it's all double talk. Oh, well, it's signed, but no. When contracts are signed and they're official, there's no but. Oh, there's university approval. Okay. Then it's, well, I signed it and Ward signed it. Okay. Once again, that's not, you're 5 at 30, you're locked in. I just continue to wonder, the longer it goes, that this is not a ratified, fully signed and executed 5-year, $30 million deal. They're leaving themselves an out.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a common sense approach. It really makes you wonder. And the more they lose, do they then come to the table and want to go, well, things?
Mike, I agree, because think about it. It would be a bad look. But I'm sure they would say, you know what, how about we just give you a 1-year deal? We'll kind of let this play out, no pun intended. And if everything is fine, we'll give you a real deal next year.
The problem for Sharon, in the short term, this is not an up-to-par coaching staff. It's not. This is not Michigan's caliber of a coaching staff. And part of that, when Jim poaches everybody and Fs you over, Oh, by the way, you had to fire assistants during the season for cheating. That always hurts. Mm-hmm. But also, Chiron is a new coach. There's a looming investigation. It's really hard to put a staff together. And look,
because I'm wondering, is Wink Martindale really that big of an upgrade?
He's not. He's a downgrade. I told you this, but I'm a Giants fan.
Mike, you did. Because I'm watching. Like, there's no adjustments being made. No, you know what?
He doesn't adjust.
We'll just blitz more.
That's it.
We need more cowbell. That's what it is. Yeah.
But that's why I laugh.
Bump, bump, bump. That's Wink. Bang, 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 bang. That's after, it. That's all you get.
Yeah.
After halftime, and they did the, you know, the coach interviews, and she's talking, oh, I spoke to Wink Martindale, and he says, I'm going to change this and change that. I'm laughing at home. I'm like, that's not what he does.
David.
What are doing here?
Everybody knew exactly what was going to happen. When your big boys in the middle went out the game, they're going to run right up the middle. When they were in the game, we're going to go east and west. And that's it. Oh, where's Will Johnson? He's on the left. We're going to the bubble screen to the right.
You know what would be nice? Where's State fans? It's just sad. But that's okay.
That's working.
Okay, that's just not nice. David, you can throw a flag on that. That's terrible. 248-539-9797. I want to go to Jeff. He's patient. He's next. Jeff, what's going on, buddy?
Hi. Well, I'll tell you, I didn't have a lot of expectations for Michigan, and I have less now. I said 7 or 8 right there, you know, the games they should win, and then the other ones they're probably not going to win. And with Michigan State, I said 6 or 7. I'm pushing them to 7. And by the way, that Michigan-Michigan State game, is that swing game that could maybe put you to 7 or 8 wins at Michigan State. But everything you've said is true. They look like a total rebuild. And just another thought, your quarterback and your coach have more upside than Michigan's quarterbacking and coach, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, in the short term, I'm okay with that. I'm not mad about it. But I also want to be careful after one good game. But look, Jonathan Smith has a lot more credibility than Sharon Moore. Clearly, he built a program from the ashes.
And I think for Jeff, in 2 weeks, what you're saying may actually be true because we'll know a lot more. Michigan State will have to play at BC in that red bandana game, and Michigan's going to have USC at home. How that day ends on Saturday, I think, could affect how people feel about the upcoming Michigan-Michigan State game. But right now, I would still say it's Michigan's game to lose.
Correct.
But in 2 weeks, we can have a different discussion.
I'm on to Prairie View.
Whoever said rebuild was right on. I think that's what it looks like, is their total rebuild.
And that's, and I appreciate it. And Jeff, look, I'll say this, and I don't want to make this nasty or anything. It has always been something that once the NCAA stuff came out, and Chiron is a repeat offender, and you couldn't get anyone worth a damn to take a job at this place. You couldn't, guys. Like, call it what it is. Look at who your OC is. Look at who your DC is. A guy who had no professional job prospects. None. Look at the staff. The best thing Michigan could have done is burn it to the ground. Mm-hmm. Get a real coach. Get real staff. And get recruiting the way you should be recruiting after 3 straight Big Ten titles and a natty. Not top 20 classes. But actual, like, we have arrived. We are who we want to be. But that's it. Until the deal is signed, I still in the back of my mind feel like, are they going to Joe Pesci this guy? Is this going to be Goodfellas and Chiron just walks into the empty room to sign his contract?
Wow. He walks into the garage.
Hey, Nikki, what was it like when you got made? Dead. Like, I don't know.
The last word you hear is, oh, bleep.
until it's done, because I have a real hard time with what they've assembled.
Because I think it's difficult for Michigan to just understand the fact that it is a rebuild. We're going to dress this up because I agree with David. If this is a real rebuild, that's when you say, all right, Jaden Davis, you're up. You're going to be the future. Yeah. We're going to treat you the way MSU is doing Aiden Childs. You will make mistakes. You will have bad throws. You will have bad games.
But you live with it.
But we're looking at the bigger picture here, where in 2-3 years, maybe you become our Quinn Ewers, that guy who didn't look that great.
Next year.
And now, right.
But straight up, if he's real,
right.
Next year he goes in as a preseason. Like, okay, remember last year, Nico?
Yeah.
Iamaliava. Like, now you're seeing what it is this year.
Correct.
That's, to me, if it's a rebuild, that's what
just
you do.
Hit the button.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Because, no, not because after one loss.
No, because here's what you're going to end up doing. You're going to play him next year, and you're just going to keep kicking the can. Rather than just saying...
You end up like the Giants. You're playing Daniel Jones to draft a rookie. So essentially, I'm 24 months from being able to watch football. Because the rookie's going to suck next year, too.
Don't do that to Big G.
I already told him.
I'm sorry, Big G.
Him seeing another Super Bowl may not be in the cards.
It is. It will.
No!
It will.
Just...
It will. I'm going in on the tickets. He will see another Super Bowl.
Okay.
We're going to send him there.
Listen, to what? The back track of Tears in Heaven?
You know what?
Eric Clapton singing
that
one?
Read something.
The Giants are killing my father. That's the Giants. Hey, can I have fun on Sunday? I should have taken a chair to my dad's spine. It would have been watching the Viking game. Jesus. Bam! Trust me, you'll understand later. I should have been like Kathy Bates in what was it? Where
Misery.
She break? Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sorry. You'll understand later. Legs, Dad.
Big G, I really love you, and this is why I'm loving you.
Thwap!
Take this. Yeah. I'm going to hit you in the head. I'm going to knock you out. It's out of love. You don't need to see this.
All right, we'll get back to business momentarily. A lot to unpack in the National Football League. So with it, an NFL blitz.
So one thing I wasn't able to get to yesterday regarding the NFL was the international game in Brazil. I think fans were robbed of a great game. You know why? Because they were slipping and sliding all over the place. Why does the NFLPA continue to just fold and allow this stuff to happen? We have to end these games.
Oh, I know the answer. Greed. Satisfied?
That was a great matchup that we got robbed of because they're slipping and sliding everywhere.
Look, they don't care. They're going to send players halfway around the world. They're going to put the Green Bay Packers 2 hours away from the venue in a hotel because they don't care. They're going to play on dangerous playing surfaces because they don't care.
Two teams who wear green in a stadium that doesn't allow green. Yeah. No, like really, nobody thought this thing through, but David, it's going to keep happening. Just like you're now seeing games in London, Germany, Brazil. They're not going to stop till they get a game in Tokyo. There will be a Tokyo game. They want a worldwide brand, so it's never going to stop. Plain and simple.
Let's get to the Jets from last night. We're going to ignore those 49ers from last night.
No, how can you ignore the privilege? You found a guy at Lowe's. And he goes 27 for 148 against the Jets, of all people. I quit.
Okay. Or maybe you just got a GM who can go out and find people. If he played for this team, people go, oh, yeah.
Privileged.
It is.
What?
But the part I want to focus on are the Jets.
Don't nod your head, Kenny.
but not the Aaron Rodgers or the offense part. We saw the struggles that they had. I want to talk about the defense. Did not have McCaffrey for the 49ers, and yet the Jets got pushed around.
That's the key.
Out-schemed. Mason looked like he was Christian McCaffrey, and they gave up 8 straight scoring drives.
And again, the Niners, all jokes aside, got whatever they wanted. Oh, it's 2nd and 12? No problem. Guys are sitting in the zone, wide open. Look.
Yeah, Sauce, for some reason, sat for a little bit.
Oh, no, but Lisa Salters couldn't be bothered to ask about it. Lisa, why are you there? We're coming out of halftime. Jets say there's nothing wrong with Sauce. He's not hurt. He's received no treatment. Then why is he sitting on the sidelines? What is a sideline reporter's job if you're not going to ask the only question anyone gives an F about? Now, to the point of the team. I think there is an actual chance neither Daboll or Saleh finish the season. If you're Robert Saleh and you are a defensive whiz, you're a defensive genius, you cannot have your side of the ball look that way.
Yeah.
Rico, that was preposterous.
It was, without Christian McCaffrey. That's just it. They made Jordan Mason, like, at that point, you're thinking to yourself, Christian, you could probably take the next couple of games off. If Mason's going to be this good, we'll see you at the bye week. Take the next month off. It was, what?
Oh, I'll just sit the best player on the planet because my 5th string can collector's so good.
No, the offensive line. I mean, Williams came back, and you see why he got his money. There was nobody was getting around him. They were opening up holes, and it was just like, you're right. Anybody could have just ran and kept picking up yards because the Jets weren't offering any resistance.
Sure thing, Lord Mountbatten. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Let's touch on the Texans.
Get those machines back on.
Yes,
the Texans. Turn those machines back on.
Yes, the Texans won. But two things. Offense, Stroud was pressured 38% of his dropbacks and sacked four times. Defensively, the defense allowed the Colts to throw three 50-plus yard completions, including a 60-yard touchdown pass. What's more concerning, the offense giving up sacks or the defense giving up those big plays?
I'll say the offense. I mean, C.J. Stroud, the vertical passing game, that's the sauce. Mm-hmm. Look, defensively, it was why I said I didn't buy into the Anthony Richardson slander in the preseason. Can we let this man play a game? And he flashed some of that ability. So I would say the O-line.
The touchdown scramble. Yeah, you're right. The O-line, you got to keep him protected because you're right. The vertical game is what the Texans want to do. They got the receivers, especially bringing Diggs there. So, yeah, offense. That's the concern.
Speaking of concern, I'm not going to dive deep into all the numbers here, but there's some numbers out there for Kirk Cousins that maybe is panic or maybe they're being patient coming back from injury to where he dropped back the least in movement-wise in his entire career in this game on Sunday. He under center in his career, he's been over 25% under center or more, 0%. Under center in that game. They use pistol formation a lot so he can just hand it off.
I think it's the Achilles.
Okay, panic or?
I'm not panicked, no. But I would have a quick trigger because I'm not going to put a guy off an Achilles who looks older than he is out there. Yeah. Kirk Cousins did not give them a chance to win.
Yeah, and that's just it. In the NFL, when it's like when you age out, it happens quickly, and I like to call it the Sean Alexander effect. Where you go from being at the top of the league to, oh boy, this guy looks old. That was Cousins. And he has to know, okay, they took a draft pick in Michael Penix Jr. with the first round for a reason. And yeah, coming off the Achilles, I don't think he's all the way healed. So they're trying to make it easy for him. Going to put you in the pistol. You don't have to drop back as far. I mean, good for you of finding that stat, but it's just one of those, they're trying to, it feels like they're biding time until they say, yeah, we're going to do Penix. Kind of what Pittsburgh did with the quarterback. You knew who was going to be the quarterback, but they had to give the charade. No. It's not going to be Justin Field. No. It's Mr. Dangerous.
Another stat here. This is a Bo Nix-related stat. He was one of nine throwing between 11 to 20 yards against the Seahawks, which was minus 45%. Of what was the expected completion percentage. Is there trouble there, or is this just a rookie on the road for the first game?
This is a rookie on the road. I mean, every rookie quarterback, I know in the preseason, we all like, oh, look at what they did against vanilla defenses and not going against starting defenses. When you play in week one, these games count. They're going to come up with a scheme to stop you, to make your life difficult, and to say, welcome to the league, Rook. And that's why you saw all of the rookie quarterbacks. None of them look great. They just looked in over their head, and the game was a lot faster than it was when they played it on Saturday, playing it on Sunday.
David, the game should have looked a lot worse. They got not one but two first-half safeties, granting them two advantage possessions in good field position. That game was much worse than it led on. Look, Nix was horrible, but I'm with Rico. So is Caleb. I'm not going to make determinations after 1 week. I'm just not doing it.
Well, can we make a determination on a veteran? We'll close out with this one.
Because, yes, Daniel Jones sucks. Next.
No. Justin Herbert threw just 67 yards, the fewest of his career in the first half, total of 144, but they did rush for 135. Uh-oh. J.K. Dobbins did.
Hate to say I told you so. Harbaugh ain't changing, guys, and it doesn't matter how wonderful Justin Herbert is. They want to run the ball, then they want to run it again, and then they're going to run it some more. So Herbert better get used to it. This is the Harbaugh way, and honestly, it's going to be their best way moving forward to try to win games.
And I also wonder how much is that plantar fasciitis kicking in? Like, you know, it takes a while to heal from that, so maybe that's why he's not comfortable throwing the ball. But yeah, like Mike said, that's Harbaugh wants to run the ball.
And they also came into the game with not one receiver over 1,000 yards in their career.
Their best receiver is Josh Palmer. I mean, Ladd McConkey's a rookie. Do you want to bring up Quentin Johnson, who's been a total zero in the league so far?
Such a disappointment.
They're running the ball. David, he's going to recreate or attempt to recreate what he had in San Francisco. And Greg Roman is a wonderful offensive coordinator, and he's the guy who helped launch Colin Kaepernick's career. He launched Lamar's career. Midstream Lamar's rookie year, rebuilt the whole offense around his abilities. It's what Michigan should do if they're going to play
Orgy. Yeah, you're exactly right about that.
If you're going to do it.
That is in football today.